Sometimes there are the overthinking playlists that causes paralysis by overanalysis. Sometimes there are the doubts that creep up out from behind us and from our subconscious into our conscious. And sometimes there are the admonition rebukes that we often heard over and over as a child or while we were growing up. We have these soundtracks, and we've learned that these soundtracks are important because the words that we think about, the words that we meditate on, the words that repeat in our mind are exceptionally important because they influence our attitude and they affect how we interact with the world around us. Therefore, we're learning to overcome the negative, broken record soundtracks, and we're replacing them with those orchestrated by God. And we've learned that it's important to retire, replace, and repeat. That is, we retired the old, we replace with new, and we repeat the new. And we began this retirement process by identifying the broken ones. That if we couldn't just turn them off, then we learned to turn them down. And we turned them down by asking ourselves three questions. Is it true? Is it helpful? And is it kind? And we realized that if it couldn't pass those three tests, then we turned them down and put them in the replace pile. And we discovered sometimes that we need to use specific turn down techniques, especially when those negative or broken soundtracks couldn't turn down. Despite not passing the test, we found that there are other ways to clear some headspace for ourselves. We learned that the cure for inaction and overthinking is to take action. That if our overthinking gets us stuck, then we change the action that we're in so that we can change what we're thinking about. And this is usually involving ourselves in a hobby or a fun activity that needs concentration or by learning something new. And then when we have those really pesky, persistent, and poisonous soundtracks, then we flip them. Or more succinctly, we flip it by flipping the soundtrack. Such as if a soundtrack is feeding you something negative, then we flip it in the opposite direction and make it something positive. Like, now this doesn't mean lying to ourselves, because your brain's going to know if you're lying to yourself. It's going to know that you're trying to fool itself. Instead, we're going to speak out in a matter of faith. For example, if you struggle with having friends or you feel like you don't have any friends, then instead of saying people don't like me and people aren't friendly to me, instead we're going to say, I'm learning to be kind. I'm learning to be a friend. I'm learning to accept people where they are and how they are without judgment. And I promise you, you will soon have friends. Or if your soundtrack says something like, you're bad at math, or you're terrible with money. Well, instead of saying, I'm great at math, because that would be a lie if you weren't good at algebra or calculus, you might work on saying, well, I'm better at everyday math. I'm learning to use everyday math better. Or instead of saying, I'm good with money, which would be a lie if you find that you're constantly broke or in debt, and saying, I'm learning to manage my bank account, to create a budget, to spend responsibly. And then you can do something like sign up for our financial management class, Saving Grace, that we're going to have on Wednesday nights in October. Sometimes we have to do something, though, to realize that there are more ways to see and to experience the good in this world, the good that God has created, the good that God is doing, and the good that God wants to do with you and in you and through you. Because the reality is, God loves you. God deeply cares for you. And God wants good in your life. God doesn't want you sick, broken, sad. For example, in our scripture today, Jesus has been traveling from town to town, and he's been recruiting some of his disciples, and he just told Peter, James, Andrew, and John, hey, let me show you what it means to fish for people. And they go to this next town, and Jesus is met by a man covered in a skin disease. We don't exactly know what the skin disease was. It could have been leprosy, eczema, or some sort of dermatitis. We don't know. And the reality is, it's not important, because what we do know is that the law said that anyone with a skin disease was unclean. That they were to stay away from other people. That they weren't allowed in public spaces. Now, the intention behind the law was to keep the diseases from spreading to other people. But what ended up happening is people lost their community. They couldn't see their family or their friends, and anyone who loved them risked seeing them, they could end up an outcast too. So rarely did anyone that was considered unclean get help or find relief. And to complicate things more, there was a problem of theology with many of the religious leaders, because they believed and they taught that good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people. And there's a pattern of this in the Old Testament law. Therefore, the logical conclusion was that this man must have been bad in order for something bad to happen to him. In other words, he was a sinner. And anyone who helps out or hangs out with a sinner, they risk being labeled a sinner too. Yet, this man is living with this reality every moment of every day, and it's holding him down, and that's part of his soundtrack. And he sees Jesus, and fighting against every soundtrack in his mind, he runs up to Jesus and falls face first into the dirt. And there he begs Jesus for help. He says, if you want, you can make me clean. Now remember that bad things happen to bad people. So why would Jesus want to help? Because that's God's punishment, right? I mean, if God wants to punish a sinner, then why would God do anything to help them out? See, that was this man's soundtrack. That was the religious soundtrack he grew up with and that he and the whole community heard on repeat. In fact, that was the whole community's soundtrack. Except that wasn't Jesus' soundtrack. Jesus was about to change this man's life and change his soundtrack. See, the man asked Jesus, he said, if you want. And Jesus' response was simple. He reaches to the man and he says, I want to. I do want to. See, Jesus' response blows the door off of the old understanding of the law, because Jesus reached out, breaking the rules of don't touch the unclean. And he touches the man. He heals the man. He heals him because he wants to. And the man runs off and he tells everyone that he can find. And here's the funny thing about outcasts and those who are sick and those who are hurting. They know a whole lot of other people who are outcasts and who are sick and who are hurting. And they run and they tell all their friends about Jesus, the man who wants to heal them. And this man in the village, full of hurt and broken people, they found a new soundtrack that day. And it became a soundtrack for everyone who wanted to see and everyone who wanted to follow Jesus. And it became an anthem for the new church. That anthem is Jesus wants to. He wants to heal you. He wants to help you. He wants to make you whole. And he's reaching out to you. And they repeated this because it was true and it's part of the salvation message. In fact, salvation literally means to be made clean, to be healed, to be made whole, and to have eternal life. And the truth today is the same truth that was back then. The truth for them is the same truth for me, and it's the same truth for you. And the truth is Jesus wants to heal you. Jesus wants to help you. Jesus wants to make you whole. God wants to make your life better and you better at life through Jesus Christ. The truth is, everyone who asked Jesus for help or for healing, they received it. And maybe you're wondering, did Jesus really mean this for me? Should I seek it? Well, hear this. In Matthew 7, verse 7, Jesus said, "Ask and you will receive, search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, whoever seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door is opened." So seek, ask, knock, so that Jesus will hear you like he heard this man who begged him. 1 John 5:14 says, "If we ask for anything in agreement with his will, he listens to us. And if we know that he listens to whatever we ask, we know that we have received what we ask from him." Well, we just learned that Jesus wants to heal and help and make you whole. So feel confident to ask Jesus for his help. Feel confident to ask Jesus to help you with these soundtracks that are holding you down and keeping you back. Ask Jesus to help you to replace them with new, something like his words, "I want to, as Jesus wants to." Then use those and make them a personal affirming anthem, a motivational motto, or a life verse that you can put on repeat. Here's the thing. When we start this, we're not always going to feel like doing it. But we need to do it anyway. We need to talk to ourselves. We need to talk ourselves into it. Because there are going to be times when we don't feel like it. There are going to be times when we don't feel it at all. I mean, how many of us know we have two sides of the bed? Sometimes I wake up on this side, it's going to be a great day. Sometimes I wake up on this side and it's like I'm a spawn from hell. And we don't know why we wake up on that side, but sometimes we do. That ever happen to you?
Yeah.
See, that's our feelings. And we need to speak truth to those feelings. We need to speak God's word to those feelings. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "To bring our thoughts before Christ, make them captive to Christ." Would Jesus say this to you? Philippians 4:8 says, "To think on good, holy, pure, just, and lovely things." Think on these things. Perhaps Henry Ford was onto something when he said, "Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right." In my undergrad Christian leadership class, we had to write a paper where we went through Scripture and we were writing down the promises of God and how they related to us. They were promises of God to the children of God, but we were claiming them for ourselves, and we had to write a whole paper on these. And I no longer have that paper, but I remember the exercise and how we were supposed to take that and read it to ourselves or remind ourselves of these promises of God daily and claim them for ourselves. And I would like to encourage you to do a similar exercise. Throughout this series, for the past 4 weeks, I've shared numerous verses that were promises of God, and I encourage you to go back and listen to them and write them down, but then also write your own down, because we all have verses that lift us up, that encourage us, and add yours to that list and find more. Borrow verses from other people. Write them down. Add your own favorites. I mean, there are so many promises of God that are where God is loving on you and encouraging you. And we need to put these on repeat as our own affirming anthem. Play them. Recite them over and over. When you get up in the morning, Remind yourself reading the scriptures of what God has promised to you. When you go to bed at night, remind yourself reading the verses, your anthem of God's love for you. Read them until you hear them more than you do the broken records. This way you can overwrite the negative with God's positive. It's like in our sermon anthem today, Happy by Pharrell Williams. He shuffles and sings, and you all didn't get to watch the video like they did at 9 o'clock, so I encourage you to go home on YouTube and look up the video Happy. It's a lively thing. We'll post it on Facebook later. But in the second verse, Pharrell sings, Here come bad news, talking this and that. Well, give me all you got. Don't hold back. Well, I should probably warn you, I'll be just fine. No offense to you, don't waste your time. Then the chorus repeats, and it repeats, and it repeats. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth, because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you, because I'm happy. Most of us, by the end of the song, we were singing along, we were clapping along. It's this electrifying, affirming anthem that cheers everyone up, or nearly everyone that hears it. It's an encouragement not to hold back, not to waste your time on the negative, not to allow someone else to rob you of your joy. Finally, we can take a clue from Happy in writing our own anthems to fit our specific needs. We can borrow from Pharrell. We can borrow from our friends. We can borrow from others by flipping our broken records and allowing God's promises to be our affirming anthem orchestra. Sisters and brothers, let's embrace our affirming anthem. Let's put it on repeat until it changes who we are from the inside out, as part as Christ transforming us who we are from the inside out, because these are part of the work that Christ is doing in us and in you. This is part of the sanctification process that calls upon the Holy Spirit, the great counselor, to affirm you as a child of God. But most of all, hold on to who God is and who you are and whose you are, because of who you are in Christ, that you are a child of God, redeemed by the love of Jesus, remade for good things, and God loves you, and there's no changing that. So remember, He wants to heal you, help you, and make you whole. So let's sing an affirming anthem that reminds us of God's grace and God's love, and may we change our lives and the world around us. Amen? Amen.